ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। चैप्टर फर्स्ट थ्री श्लोक Upanishad, we have done up to mantra number 3. So, the first mantra was emphasizing on renunciation. The first mantra is given for the category of people who are matured. A matured student who is reached this level of mental renunciation, vairagya, and the goal of that student is only moksha. So, in that mantra he says, this entire universe is provided by Isha. Isha vasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat. This entire universe, which is a changing phenomenon, is covered by that pure consciousness, Isha. Tena tyaktena bhunjita. May you attain enjoyment or security by renouncing this world. So, the general thinking of the people in the world is that by acquisition do we enjoy. The Upanishads tell us that the real enjoyment is in renunciation, not in acquisition. It is by rising above the world do you enjoy this world. Do you become secure? So, we have seen explanation for this, that the ego, which is a false notion, tries to find some kind of a security through acquisition of wealth, acquisition of people, name, acquisition of knowledge. But the fact that ego is a false notion, it cannot find security at all. How much ever you provide, whether it is knowledge or wealth or anything, it's only by gaining the knowledge that it is false and renouncing that, do you really find the true security which comes from Atma within. So therefore it is tena tyaktena bhunjita magrhat kasya svitana. So when you live in this world, do not covet another's wealth, and also do not covet wealth itself, because whose wealth is it? It is, the whole thing is nothing but consciousness. What appears to you as material wealth is nothing but consciousness. So therefore do not covet it. But if you're not in that level of renunciation, whose goal is moksha, then what do you have to do? You have to qualify to come to that level. So ultimately, what gives us that freedom is knowledge. But to gain that knowledge, one needs to qualify. So the bulk of the desires needs to be dealt with and exhausted. And therefore, for such people who are extroverted, the path advised, given, is karma marga. So what you call as, what you call as pravritti marga. The first mantra was nivritti marga, renunciation. The second mantra talks about pravritti marga, being in the world, performing actions as long as one lives. So it is purvan eva iha karmani jiji vishet. Jiji vishet meaning one who has desire to live, one who desires to breathe, one who desires to survive in this world, live in this body, and it is shatam samaha, means 100 years doesn't mean 100 years. As long as one lives, one should perform karma. And when the Upanishadic masters use the word karma, they only know selfless action. They don't know what is selfish action. So when they say do karma, they obviously mean karma yoga. So by performing karma yoga, evam toi na anya, there is no other. Anyata, there is nothing else otherwise than this. What? Karma. This karma when you perform, lipyate nare, it will not stick. Na lipyate nare, it will not stick. The karmas will not stick to the individual. The effect. So when you do karma yoga, the result is dropping of vasanas. But if you do karma, the result is you gather vasanas. So therefore he says, you start performing karma yoga in this world, get chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata, and then qualify for jnanam. Jnana yoga adhikari. You become qualified for gaining knowledge, for doing jnana yoga. And then come to jnana yoga marga, which is nivritti marga. Nivritti is simply, nivritti can be like, you know, you take an upper robe, or it can be without taking upper robe also. Mentally, as far as you are concerned, you have dropped all the preoccupations of the world. Our only goal is now to liberate, realize the self. So you come to that marga. Now if you are neither in pravritti nor in nivritti, you are not doing karma yoga, you are not doing karma as yoga, and you have not evolved to that extent of a sannyasi where you are performing jnana yoga, then what kind of life do you lead? He says such a life is suicidal. That's what he says in verse number 3. So he says, asurya namate loka andena tamasavritaha. Loka could also mean the worlds, also it means the body. Asushu ramante iti asurya means, asu means pranam, pranam means life. Those who wish to live in this body, this pranam, those who love this body, asuryaha, they are called asurya. Such people, they live in a world which is andena tamasa. They live in this body which is andena tamasa, means enveloped by blinding darkness, which is deemed sunless, asurya. Because they are living in these senses. The moment the consciousness is trapped in the body, as it were, we give ourselves to the temptations of the body, mind and intellect. So thereafter, we live for sense pleasures, emotional excitements and intellectual delights. So Such people who do not have any higher goal, what happens to them? Tante, yes. Such people, to them, those people, pretya abhigacchanti, they go to, they depart and go to where? They go to atmana jane janaha, means they are committing suicide while living itself. Basically what he means is, they are leading a dead life. What it means? Their life lacks life. Their life lacks life because they have done atmahana, means they killed the atma. They killed the self. So, he says, those people slaying their self, departing, go to them. Go to them means, they go and take another body, which again they live in this sense world, continue. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Killing the atma. They have absolutely no clue about atma, no interest on atma. They completely indulge in the world and they continue increasing their vasana, then repeatedly coming back again and again and again. That's what it means. So, once a person indulges in the sense world, he creates more vasanas. That will bring him back again. And he will create more. That will bring him back. Moving far away from atma, they kill their life. Their life becomes insipid. So, they are dead to the atma. Who? The bulk of the people. Whereas, the Mahatmas, they are dead to the world. They are dead to the body, mind, and life. So, Swami Ramakrishna asks the question and he answers it. The question is, when shall I be free? And the answer he gives is, when I shall cease to be. When shall I be free? When I shall cease to be. So, the moment the I dies, the small I, the larger I, the universal I, the big self or the true self is there. But when you become born in the small I, the true self is dead. This is what the Upanishad calls this true self. So, we call killing of this body by oneself as suicide. But Upanishad says, no. The moment you kill the Atma, the moment you don't identify with Atma, you live without awareness of the self. That life is suicide. Why suicidal? Because it will be covered with desires. You will lead a very unaware, desire-ridden lifestyle. That's what the Upanishad calls as suicidal. They commit suicide. Now, what is this self? What is that self? We keep talking about the self, self, self. What is that self? So that he says in this next four mantras, from 4 to 8, that self which is the goal. He talks about it. He gives various pointers of the self. And the swarupa of the self and the phalam of achieving the self. This is discussed from verse number 4 to 8. Mantra number 4 to mantra number 8. They talk about the atma swarupa and atma phala. What is the phalam we get once we reach the atma, and what is the swarupa of atma? And Atma is something that cannot be captured by words. So something that cannot be captured by words, the Upanishadic master ingeniously tries to explain through words by using the language of contradiction. Because when we use a particular word, we fix it as if this is it. But Atma is the subtlest cannot be fixed. For example, if you say long, you understand that it is not short. But it is short also. So therefore they will say it's long, it's short. It's like that, they keep talking. So this method the guru uses here to talk about that Atma. So we'll start verse number 4.
Aye jade kam manaso javi yonaina deva aapnu van purvamarshat tadhavato jnanapye vidishthat tasmin napo matarishva dadhati.
So what is that Atma? He says, it is that which is unmoving, anejat. Anejat means that which is unmoving. Something which is all pervading cannot move. Movement is possible only from a place where you are to a place where you are not. So Atma is the subtlest which pervades everything. Isavasyam idam sarva. So how can it be moving? Therefore it is anejat. Ekam. It is one, not two. There is only one Atma which reflects in every being. Therefore it is one, ekam. And he says, faster than the mind. Manasa javiyaha. Manasa javiyaha means faster than the mind. Mind is considered to be the fastest. Right now, it can go to London. Right now, it can go to any country, anywhere, any place in the world. In the past, future, it can go anywhere. So, mind is considered to be moving very fast. So, he says, it is faster than the mind. Manasa javiya. What does that mean? It means, it moves faster than the mind. How can you say, firstly he said, it moves not. Then he said, it's faster than the mind it moves. What do you mean by that? Wherever the mind goes, the self is already there. So therefore he says, it is faster than the mind. There is no place where the consciousness is not there. So by the time the mind gets there, before that, there is consciousness. Therefore he says, it is faster than the mind. Then he says, naina deva is separated as na ena devaha. Devaha here means senses. Senses means illuminators. Devaha means illuminates. That which illuminates. Illuminators. And the senses illumine, right? By making you see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Therefore they are called devaha, the senses. So it says the senses could not reach it. It is indriya agochara. Indriya agochara means it is something that cannot be captured by the senses. Senses are gross. Atma is subtle. So senses cannot catch the Atma. It ran ahead. It runs ahead of everything. So he says, na etat deva apnuvan. The senses cannot attain it. Purva marshat, ran ahead. It's the very subject. The very subject which is subtler than the senses and the mind. Then he says, tat davat. Tat davat means it is running. Tat davat Agnya atyeti tishtat. Tishtat means stands. And then he says, it ran ahead, but remaining stationary. Now these are the contradictory terms he uses. It is faster than the mind. It runs before everything, but it remains stationary. So what he wants to say is, it appears to be running because of the mind running, but it by itself remains stationary. Little tricky to understand this. When you are, you know, when you see the moon above, the clouds are moving, but the movement of the clouds creates an illusion there, as if the moon is moving. The moon is stationary. In fact, it is due to the moon's light that you see the clouds. Isn't it? You see the clouds due to the moon's light. The sun's light is reflected through the moon and you see the clouds. And the clouds are moving. And when the clouds are moving, it appears as if the moon is moving. But the moon is stationary. Similarly, he says that pure consciousness remains stationary. It remains stationary. It outruns all other runners. That's what he said. Tadavat anyan. All other runners means what? The wherever you go, if you you travel from Delhi to Jaipur. All along you will see the moon. When you reach Jaipur, there is moon already. So the moon's light is all pervasive. You move. Similarly, imagine now, the Atma is all pervading. The mind and the senses are moving. And wherever they go, the Atma is already there. So it outruns all the runners. He wants to give this example to tell us that actually what is moving is the thoughts. The thoughts are moving, but it appears as if the Atma is moving. It appears as if you are moving. You are who? He already said, Anejat. You are not somebody who moves. Somebody who does anything. You are akarta. You mean the Atma is akarta. But being akarta, he says, it being there, air sustains life. Tasmin apaha matarishwa dadati. Matarishwa means wind, the prana. So, the matarishwa, air, sustains life. Apaha, apaha, water here is taken as activities of life. So, even all rituals and everything is performed with water. And where there is water only, there can be life. So, the activities of life. So, he says, it is not that the prana is keeping you alive. It is in fact because of this Atma, the pranas are keeping you alive. That's what he means. And he says, Tasmin apo matarishwa tathati. So, first he says, this Atma is anejat. It doesn't move. Yekam. There are no two Atmas. It appears to be two because of the minds. As many number of minds, as many number of reflections. But even though there are so many number of reflections, there is only one sun. Similarly, there is only one Atma. So, which doesn't move, which is all pervading, it is the fastest because it's the subject, it is all pervading. Before the mind, the senses reach there, it is there. And senses cannot grasp it. It is Indriya Agochara. Indriya Agochara. And it remains stationary. Even though it doesn't do anything, it is because of this Matarishva, Prana, sustains life. So the very source of life is Atma. Is what he says. So we have studied Keno Upanishad. In Keno Upanishad also he said the same thing. Each Upanishad doesn't say different things. It says the same thing. They put it in different ways. So he says, it being there, air sustains life. We think this, you know, breath is sustaining this life. But actually what is sustaining life is the Atma. That's the real subject. So he says, Sotrasya Sotra in Keno Upanishad. It is the Manaso Mana. Pranasya Pranaha. The prana of the prana. That's what he's saying here. It is because of its presence, Matarishva sustains life. So, what this verse is trying to say is that Atma is the subtlest, all-pervading reality which without moving sustains life. Though it doesn't do anything, everything functions because of that Atma. That's what he wants to say. It outruns all other runners. It's the fastest. It's the very subject. All experiences are possible because the subject is there. The subject is not there, no experience is possible. So therefore he says, it is that which makes everything function. It being there, air sustains life. So, the Guru talks about that Atma, which is your real self, as something which doesn't do anything, which doesn't move, but in its presence, this whole world is functioning. So you can look at it from the microcosmic angle or from the macrocosmic angle. Everything in the universe is functioning because of that pure consciousness only. So in the presence of Atma, the prana is sustaining life and then the activities are there in this world. This is what he said in this mantra. Next verse.
Tadejati tannaijati tadure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya atya vajyataha.
Tadejati tannaijati tadure tadvantike. All contradictory terms. Tad ejati. That moves. First two verse, which means fourth verse, he says, that is unmoving. Now he says, that moves. The previous verse started with what? That is unmoving. This verse starts with what? That moves. Tadejati. Then he immediately says, tat na ejati. Tanna ejati means, that moves not. That which moves, and that which moves not. Tad dure, that's far. Tadvantike means near. Tadvantike means it's near. That is far, that is near. Then, he says, that is inside all this, that is even outside all this. Tad అంత సర్వస్య అస్య అస్య సర్వస్య అస్య సర్వస్య మీన్స్ ఆల్ దిస్ తత్ అంత అస్య సర్వస్య మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ విదిన్ ఆల్ దిస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఆల్ దిస్ తత్ అంతరస్య దెన్ హీ సేస్ తదు సర్వస్యాస్య బాహ్యత ఇట్ ఈస్ ఈవెన్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దిస్ Now, when you hear these words, you think these fellows are absolutely confused. They are confused, therefore they are talking like this. But all these are deep and pregnant words. So he says, that moves and that moves not. What does it mean? It can be interpreted in many ways, these verses, because they are so deep, you can go into different interpretations. But the gist of it, what he is trying to say, we need to understand. That moves and that moves not. That Atma is something that moves not. But that Atma appears to be moving in Chidabhasa. That same Atma is what is appearing to be moving in the Chidabhasa, the thoughts, in the world. There is Jada. Jada means that which has no sentiency. And that which has awareness, consciousness, living beings. So, you see the movement, when you see the movement, then you say there is consciousness. So, living beings and non-living beings, both are nothing but that same consciousness only. That moves and that moves not. This is one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, it actually moves not, but appears to be moving. The Atma doesn't move, but appears to be moving. This example I already gave. In the Chidabhasam. So that's why you are getting the feeling that you are moving. Now you got to relate this with what we studied in the fourth chapter. I don't know if you still remember. Fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 18. There he said, you should see karma in akarma, akarma in karma. We spent quite a bit of time talking about this particular thing because this is very important. And that's why we say Upanishads is the source from which the Bhagavad Gita has come. Bhagavad Gita, when we conclude each chapter, we say that also. You know, this Upanishads are the source from which the Bhagavad Gita has given the summary. So, what is this verse saying and what did we study in verse number 4, verse number 18, chapter 4? You have to see Atma in Anatma, meaning karma in akarma, akarma in karma. Seeing akarma in karma, when the activities are going on, you should see akarma in it, meaning the akarma, the unmoving and non-doing principle called the Atma is that which is the source because of which the activities are going. So the movement belongs to the body, mind, intellect complex. But when the Atma appears in the body, mind, intellect complex, the movement of the body, mind, intellect makes the Atma seem to be moving. This is the problem. That's why we think we are somebody who is moving. But Vedanta says you are unmoving subject. Then what is moving? Mind is moving. So when the unmoving subject gets reflected in the moving mind, it brings an illusion as if you are moving. You are akarta. When you are akarta, you are abhokta also. Abhokta in the sense, there is no pap and punya for you. But the moment you think that you are karta, and assuming that you are karta, you will do all kinds of things. So, just before the class today, I didn't know. Only when Madhuji came, she said, "Happy birthday, Sadhana." Then I knew that it is Sadhana's birthday, so I also wished her. In Vedanta, in our academy especially, when it is somebody's birthday, we chant this verse from Atma Bodha. You know, that verse says, you are Nirguna. You are not the one with Guna. You are Nirguna. You are Akarta. So, that is what we remind a person on a birthday. Because it is not the Atma that is born. It's the Chidabhasa that is born. What is born is Chidabhasa. Means the reflection. And you need to cross the reflection. To cross the reflection, what you have to do? You have to do sadhana. So they kept your name as sadhana. But what do? We don't do sadhana, we do everything else. And that is called atmahanaha, suicide. We do everything else other than sadhana to get back. So Upanishad is saying, you are not moving, you are not born and moving. It is the mind, the movement belongs to the mind, thoughts, chidabhas. So therefore he says that moves not. Depends how you look at it. The reflected sun seems to be moving, the real sun doesn't move. Or the mind is moving in that it appears as the sun is moving. So therefore, when you look at it from the mind conditioned angle, it looks like moving. But when you remove that conditioning and see, you understand it is unmoving. And it is far, it is near. Tadure. Tadu antike. Means what? It is far and near. How can something be far and something be near? For an extroverted person whose attention is upon the body, mind and intellect, Atma is far. For an introverted person whose attention is upon the Atma is the very subject. For a jnani, Atma is the very subject. For the ajnani, Atma is far away. So, in the Bollywood movies, if I give this example, it will become clear. The Bollywood movies, the hero and heroine, they love each other. They are not married yet. So, they are meeting in the evenings every day in the park. And then, the hero comes a little late and the heroine is waiting and then she is searching for him. Has he already come and is he somewhere? And he seeing that she is searching for him, he is playing with her. So they start singing, and all this tamasha goes. And then they are looking for each other and they are walking backwards. As they walk backwards, they come close to each other. In fact, they are back, they are standing back to back. The whole theater, every audience, whoever is there is waiting that they'll turn and see each other. They come so close, they sing and then they go away. Now, where they near or far? You tell me. They were near, but yet far. Because they're looking outwardly. So, For a person who is looking outwardly, it is far. For a person who is looking inwardly, it is near. It is a very subject. For the one who is searching for it, he will never get it. The moment you stop the search, the very subject is Atma is understood. So therefore, it is tad dure tadu antike. It's beautifully put here. Otherwise, you think, yeah, this guy is blabbering. They don't seem to understand what they are talking. How can it be far and near both? So therefore, he say, you are that. The Atma is you. But you are looking for the bliss in the world outside. So it seems something that is unreachable. But if you, moment you gain the knowledge, then you understand that which you have been searching for is you yourself. So, tadejati tannejati tadure tadvantite. Tad antarasya sarvasya. Tad anta asya sarvasya. That is within, inside all this. And tadu sarvasyasya bhakyata. One of the most fascinating ways in which this Upanishad has communicated this. When I read this again and again, the reflection tells me what the Guru is trying to say here is. It is the innermost core of all beings. That's why he says, tad anta asya sarvasya. It is that which is within all this. The innermost core. Then we understand it as the innermost core. We think it is trapped or surrounded by something. So he says, tadu sarvasya, sarvasyasya bahyataha. It is outside of all this. Even though you can see the sun in a pond inside, that sun is far beyond the pond. It is also meaning that it is all pervading. It's like, you know, when you say space, you take a pot and then say the space is inside this pot also, something which is outside the pot also, and the walls of the pot, is each and every pore is also filled with the space. So space is inside and outside. So this inside and outside business comes from our angle. When you're traveling in space, there is no inside, you know, out and up and down. Up and down is from the level of Earth. So, from the mind, when they try to talk about the consciousness, they are saying it's inside and outside. But within that, he is also trying to say this. What is that? Though it is the very subject, it is beyond all this. That's why in Tamil language, the word for God is Kadavul. Kada means something which is transcendent. Kadandum irupavar. Kada is beyond. Ul means within, imminent. So, kada ul means that which is transcendent and imminent. Both. So, how do you find that kada ul? You repeat the word kada ul, they say. If you repeat the word kada ul, kada ul, kada ul, kada ul, kada ul, kada ul, it will become ul kada, ul kada, ul. Kada ul will become ul kada, ul kada, ul kada. Ul kada means keep crossing the layers. Keep on crossing the boundaries. What are the boundaries? Food sheath. Then vital air sheath. Then mind sheath or mental sheath. Then intellectual sheath. Then vasana sheath or bliss sheath. When you cross all this, then finally what is there? Atma. And this Atma is always beyond this. It is not affected by anything that is happening to the outer surface. That's why we use the word sheath. These are called sheath. Like a, kabad. When you insert the sword inside this kabad and the sword, they do not touch each other. So it's inside, yet outside. This is also he's saying here, if you reflect a little deeply. Otherwise he's just saying it all pervade. But he's saying tat antarasya sarvasya. Tadu sarvasyasya bhaktyataha. So once you gain this knowledge, what happens? You will be inside this, yet you will be outside of all this. This is why we say, when you put an iron ball inside a burning furnace, slowly, slowly, the iron ball will become fire. Will become fire. Similarly, when you keep on reflecting on the mantras of the Upanishad, you will become these words. Your life will become these words. In the sense what? You will be in this world. Yet you will be outside of it all. You are functioning in this world, yet you are outside of this world. When only you understood the Upanishadic words. Otherwise you say, oh, Atma is something which is inside also, outside also. Oh, I understood. You understood nothing. Because you are thinking you understood Atma. So then we have to come back to Keno Upanishad. What did Keno Upanishad say? It is not what you hear, what makes you hear. It's not what you conceive, but what makes you conceive. So therefore, it's not what you understood that is Atma. It is that which is making you understand anything. It is behind your knowledge and ignorance. Again, in the Keno Upanishad we study. Known and the unknown. Beyond the known and the unknown. So therefore, once we reflect on these concepts, then we like that iron ball which is put in the fire becomes fire. We also become like that. How? We will understand that we are the Atma and we will be functioning in this world without getting involved in it. This is what in Tamil they say, Thoongamal Thoongi. Thoongamal Thoongi means without sleeping, sleeping. As though sleeping. As if you are involved here. As if your life depends on all this. But when it's sleeping time, you go and lie on the bed. Within few seconds, you can fall off to sleep. Why? Because you were in it, yet you were out of it. But in our case, no. We will be in it. We will allow that to go into ourselves. So, the Atma is all pervading. It is appearing to be moving or doing because of the mind, but it is neither moving, it is stationary, it moves not. And it is far for the person who is Ajnani, it is near for a person who is Jnani. One who identifies with the subject, one who knows that it is the subject, it's the nearest. But we always talk about God as somebody who is in heaven. God in heaven. God in heaven. God is not far. God is sitting inside you as a witness to everything that you do or don't do. Everything that you do and everything that you don't do. For both, the Atma is sitting there as a witness. So therefore, he says, that moves not, it is far and it is near. For a bhakta, it's near, it's within. He is there in everything. He doesn't have to go far away to be reminded of God. But when you are so gross and not so developed, you need to go to the Himalayas and see that mountain, the huge big mountain, that mighty mountain, and then you will be reminded of God. Or you'll have to see tsunami waves. Oh my God. Then you'll say, my God. But if you are really developed, subtle, you will see the God divinity when you are opening that, you know, peanuts are covered in the shell. When you see that, you will see divinity there. In your nail growth, you will see the divinity. In your hair growth, you will see the divinity. You will see divinity everywhere. It is within and without. So, in short, this mind is that which is reflecting the consciousness. So, from the mind angle when they talk, they have to say within and without. Actually, within without makes no sense. Like space, inside, outside. What do you mean space, inside, outside? Can the walls of a pot or a room divide space? The walls of the room cannot divide space. But for our communication purpose, we use these words. What do we say? Bedroom space, lounge space, kitchen space, bathroom space. But space cannot be divided by these walls. So, when the guru is trying to communicate that Atma which is all-pervading, he has to use such words. So, in this, they just want to say that you are not the one who is the doer, you are the subject, but because of you, all activities are going on. So, if you remain objective, you will drop the vasanas and you finally realize the self. So, got to learn to remain objective by contemplating on these verses. So, when you contemplate on these verses, then what happens is, you realize the self. When you realize the self, then what happens? What is the swarupa of Atma? That swarupa of Atma is talked in verse number 6. What is that swarupa of Atma? It is in verse number 6.
Yastu sarvani bhutani atman jevanu pasyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsate yasmin
yastu sarvani bhutani. Sarvani bhutani means all beings. And what does he see? Atmani eva anupashyati. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani eva anupashyati. Means he sees Atma alone. Eva means alone, only. So he says, he indeed, who perceives all beings in the very self, and the self in all beings. He then feels no abhorrences. Tathona vijugupsate. Revulsion. There is no revulsion. There is no jealousy, hatred. No hatred. See the oneness. See the test of development. Whichever verse, whether in the Upanishad or in the Bhagavad Gita you go, whenever they talk about the test of development, they talk about seeing all in Atma and Atma in all. They talk about this. So that's what he's saying. He indeed, the person who sees, who perceives all beings in the very self. And the self in all beings. He then feels no abhorrence. There's a very interesting story Swamiji gives in the book Vedanta Treatise. A prince had a pet dog. And he also had a room which was fully fitted with mirrors, different mirrors. Every now and then, the prince would go to this room, look at him in all these reflections, admire and go out. So one day, the dog happened to go to that room, his pet dog. When he went to the room, he saw so many dogs. When he saw so many dogs, he thought that there is a problem for him. There is insecurity. There are so many dogs. I have to protect myself. So he started barking. When he was barking, the room echoed. So he was hearing his own barking sound. But he thought, and he is seeing the mirrors where all the other dogs are also barking. So he thought the sound that is coming back to him is coming from those reflected images. But he doesn't understand that. He didn't know that there are reflections. So he continued barking, continued to hear the barking sound and exhausted all his energy and perished. So what is the difference between the prince and the dog? The prince knew that these various images are his own reflection, whereas this dog didn't know. Just the difference. He was aware. This dog was not aware. So therefore, the moment you go inside and realize the self, you will see the same self that is pervading all beings. It is that one same pure consciousness which is pervading all beings. And the moment you see the same consciousness everywhere, due to the gunas, the reflection seems to be different. Isn't it? So, the mirror, if it is dusty, the reflection will be like that. If it's clean, the reflection will be clean. So, the reflection is due to the gunas of the mind, there is these differences. But if you see the differences, you will suffer. But that is due to the reflecting medium. But the Atma is one and the same. The moment I understand this, then there is no fear. Fear comes when I separate myself from the total. When I edge God out, I bring an independent individuality apart from the total. Then the fear comes, hatred comes, all this comes. So therefore he says, he then feels no words. Means there is no vichigupsa. Vichigupsa, how do I put it? It's a revulsive feeling. You know, don't talk about him in front of me. No. Don't talk about that person here. You don't want to talk about him or her. That him or her is also the same pure consciousness. The problem is in the reflecting medium. Nothing to do with them. And they are ignorant of it. Therefore they are behaving like that. And if you understand that, you will feel no hatred. You will feel no hatred. So you are seeing the same. So how will you be behaving? You will be, if by chance, your right finger poke your eyes, by chance, you know, you are taking out your glass and you are doing something, by mistake your right finger disturbed your eyes. Are you going to go and cut that right finger? You are not. Because you know that that is also me. That is also me. This is also me. Where is the question of revenge, hatred, revulsive feeling? Nothing of that sort. So that's what he says. The moment a person sees the subject within, the I, the pure self, he perceives all being in that very same sense. And the same self is what is appearing differently in different reflections. So in and through all the reflections, with all the differences, you're able to see that one homogeneous mass of consciousness. So in fact, if you really want to know how much you've evolved, go to that fellow who irritates you. Don't try all these things, I'm just saying. Because the more he irritates, how calm are you able to be? That determines if you are evolved or not yet. So I believe when Mahatma Gandhiji was during freedom struggle, once he was imprisoned for almost 6 months in a prison, and I forget the name of that police in charge there. Apparently he was very harsh with Mahatma Gandhiji. And after 6 months, when he was released, during the 6 months, you know, you got to do some work at the other end of the prison. So Mahatma Gandhiji made a chappal, and a shoe or chappal or something, he made. And when he was released, he gave it to that officer. He said, this I made for you. The officer said, for me? And he tried that, it fitted him exactly. So that officer asked, Pareya, how did you make this shoes which is fitting me so perfectly? He said, you used to kick me with your shoes. So I took signs from that impressions and then I made it for you. Then he said, it seems, I'll keep this shoe till my death. Not to wear it, I'll keep it in my puja room and I'll worship it. This has changed me today. How was this possible? He was able to see the same self in him, that little misguided self. That's all. That fellow is so insecure. There's something wrong with him. I remember a teacher used to say this. Whenever he used to go and lecture in colleges, there are fellows making fun, you know, passing comments or whistling and all that. So he understood that the fact that he's doing all this, he needs some kind of recognition because he's feeling left out inside. Some recognition he needs. So the teacher apparently used to call him to the front and, you know, talks to every student and says, see how well this guy is, you know, whistling. And he goes on like that. So much of talent he has, she has, or whatever. The fellow gets the recognition. Then he cooperates. All this misbehavior, wrong things, all this, somewhere they are lacking. They are suffering inside. We don't understand the psychology. So the moment you understand that, you will feel sorry for them. You won't feel hatred for them. They're misguided. They don't understand. So, but the one who's seeing the self, he will be able to see the same pure consciousness. But it is reflected in the mind, which is conditioned in a particular way. So it is behaving like that. It's conditioned like that, isn't it? Somebody else who's dying for somebody whom he doesn't know. There's another fellow who is killing somebody who brought that fellow up. So all these kind of differences are there at the mind level. And those minds function because of the consciousness. But the consciousness is though inside, it is outside. So why will I hate that person? To be hating, I should also be identifying with the mind. To see the oneness, I should be identifying with the consciousness. So the moment I identify with the consciousness within, then there is no question of revulsion, no hatred, nothing. So every time when there is hatred, revulsion, you know, revenge, attitude, and all that, you understand that you moved away from consciousness. It's a sign that is reminding you that you have moved away from the other. So when you forgive, you are giving yourself an opportunity to move closer to the self. You are not a big guy, anybody to forgive anybody. But when you forgive, you give yourself an opportunity to move closer to the self. Remember this. So therefore he says, he indeed who perceives all beings in the very self. All this variety show is nothing but that one pure consciousness, like in the dream. One waker's mind becomes the dreamer, the dream objects and beings, everything. Even your enemies in the dream have come from your own mind only. Your own mind from which the enemies also have come about. Therefore he says, that is the self in all beings, and all beings in the self. So, the potential of all these reflections is seen in the self. And when the reflections are seen, the one self which is getting reflected in all these varieties is also seen. The moment you have that oneness feeling, instantly you will have no hatred. That's all he says. Therefore he says, tato na viji gupsate. There is no abhorrence. So when we do these verses, we need to reflect on these words, what the verses are trying to say. This unmoving Atma appears to be moving because of the mind. So when I am seeing the movement, I should be able to understand the unmoving Atma. When I understand that, in spite of all the activities and movement, I remain unmoved. I remain unconditioned. So, basically what is this? We are all the same pure consciousness, but conditioned by all our experiences. And unquestioned, we have accepted it. Now when we study all this, we question and then remove all the conditionings. Then we remind that, then we become that unconditioned self. And then you will see the same unconditioned self spread everywhere. Then there will be oneness and no hatred. Let's conclude the class now. ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. ॐ कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि. हरि ओम. See you all next week.